Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. Today's message is entitled, He is Weighed in the Balances and Found Wanting, Why the Presidency of Barack Hussein Obama Will Not Be Morally Good for America. This ministry has been silent long enough on the meteoric and disturbing rise of one Barack Hussein Obama, who will now become the next president of the United States. Now, I must boldly speak out as God's watchman on the wall to sound the alarm over the troubling prospect of a looming Obama administration that will not morally bode well for a declining and apostate America. His election will now legitimize in his twisted mind and in the deceived mind of those who myopically follow him immediate justification for quickly implementing his radical leftists and decidedly anti-Christian policies that flatly violate and repudiate the clear teaching of Scripture on several important issues confronting this nation. For the born-again Bible-believing Christian, whether black or white, the supreme standard and guiding principle for living life, developing a worldview and philosophy, and for defining and regulating what a person does or thinks is the Word of God. And neither race, religion, denominational allegiance, personal sentiment or preference should subvert this supreme infallible criterion. The Lord Jesus Christ declared that all humans would be judged according to this divine word. Our Lord said in John 12:48, He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. God expects the Christian to test all things by Scripture. That would most certainly include voting and electing political candidates running for the office of President of the United States. The question he or she must ask when voting is, does this candidate's platform conform and reflect a biblical ethic through and through? If the answer is no, then no Christian worth his salt has any business electing to office a candidate whose views and policies are unbiblical. And if they do so out of racial identification, personal preference, or political bias, they will answer to the Lord for their sinful and errant choice. And that is all there is to that. When applying this biblical litmus test to the far-left policies and positions of Barack Hussein Obama over critical issues like abortion, Israel, homosexuality, and liberation theology, we find that he, like the depraved and blasphemous King Belshazzar of Daniel 5:27, is weighed in the perfect balances of God's Word and found morally deficient and greatly wanting, proving thereby Obama is not biblically qualified to be a godly president of this country. Indeed, his unbiblical position on each of these issues will bring great harm and irreversible destruction to this country for years to come. A brief review will provide incontrovertible evidence of this. Obama's position on abortion, the killing of the unborn, reflects a callous view and an intransigent position that allows for unlimited and unrestricted access to abortion that includes third trimester abortions, meaning that unborn babies can be murdered in the womb from week 28 of the pregnancy to the birth of the child. Obama has gone on record saying that if he were elected president, he would rescind President Bush's humane ban on the partial birth abortion procedure and provide taxpayers' dollars for its continuation. The procedure for a partial birth abortion is heinous and barbaric, to say the least, and far exceeds the butchery and savagery of some of the worst murderers in history. To perform a partial birth abortion, the abortion doctor takes forceps and grabs the baby by the legs and forcibly pulls the infant down into the birth canal and delivers the baby's legs and arms out of the womb, all except for the head. Once done, the doctor places scissors on the back of the head and then proceeds to drill a hole into the infant's tiny skull and then places a high-powered suction tube through the opening to suck the baby's brains out. When done, the baby's body is removed from the womb and discarded in a trash bin. This is what your president firmly supports. Obama promised to sign the Freedom of Choice Act once he becomes president. That would allow for unlimited and unrestricted abortion in America. Most Democrats, like Obama, promote abortion in which the highest percentages of murdered babies are black. To date, over 11 million black babies have been killed in the name of choice since abortion was legalized in 1973. This is genocide against blacks and nothing less. Many blacks, along with whites, are going along with abortion, which is deeply tragic. The pro-abortionists have killed off a generation of blacks because they believe the outright lie of the Democrats that abortion is good and a woman's right to exercise. Obama's unconscionable support and defense of the barbarity of abortion as a politician goes beyond this to include infanticide, the actual killing of infants born outside the womb. While a state senator in Illinois, Obama led an opposition group for 3 years in a row from 2001 to 2003 to block the Born Alive Infants Protection Act, which legally prevents the killing of babies that inadvertently survive an abortion. He proposed the surviving abortion victim be placed in an adjacent room where the abortion took place and left there to die rather than suffer the inconvenience of calling a third-party physician to save the baby's life. When the Born Alive Infant Protection Act was passed with unanimous consent in the Illinois legislature, Barack Hussein Obama defended infanticide and flatly refused to let this life-saving bill out of his subcommittee in the Illinois Senate, and in effect killed the bill right there. Such an obstinate refusal evinces a ruthless, cold-hearted, barbaric ideology, which in the words of former U.S. Ambassador Alan Keyes, quote, bespeaks of a hardness of heart for the sake of defense for the so-called right to abortion, unquote. Obama's inexcusable position on abortion is diametrically opposed to God's view of the unborn as revealed from the everlasting truth of Holy Scripture. The unborn are valued as complete persons whom God has personally known, formed, and ordained to be conceived, grown, and born from the womb. See Psalm 139 and Jeremiah 1. In Psalm 139, we learn that each person, regardless of age, handicap, or appearance, has been personally knit together by God in the womb. So to abort a child in the womb, in God's eyes, is murder, plain and simple. Anyone who supports the right to choose an abortion therefore disobeys the word of God and endorses the murder of the innocent unborn. Those, like the ilk of Obama, who continue to support and defend the butcheries of abortion will face the terrifying judgment of God in the end for perpetuating the sin of hands that shed innocent blood. One of the chief sins God hates, as told us in Proverbs 6:17. Now that Barack Hussein Obama is president, millions and millions more of unborn children will die horrible deaths due to his murderous policies that allow for expanded abortion, which would not have died before had America been smart and spiritually discerning enough to vote for a pro-life candidate who would defend the God-given and constitutional rights of the unborn to life. Obama's support of Israel is vague and highly questionable, especially given his routine associations with Islamic fascists who support anti-Israel policies and American statesmen who are notoriously anti-Semitic. Obama's closest campaign advisors are consistently anti-Israel down the line. Zbigniew Brzezinski, a former national security advisor to President Carter, who now serves as a foreign policy to Obama, believes that the Jewish lobby controls and exerts an undue and coercive influence that forces America into a pro-Israel lobby. He is also on record as defending Jimmy Carter's anti-Semitic bilge expressed in his slanderous book, Peace, Not Apartheid. Obama also has close ties with Rashid Khalidi, who was the former communications director of the PLO and spokesman for arch-terrorist Yasser Arafat. In 2003, Obama attended a banquet in honor of this world-renowned anti-Semite. And according to a suppressed video of the event, now in the secure possession of the liberal Los Angeles Times, both Obama and Khalidi held their glasses up in a toast while it was announced that Israel does not have the God-given right to occupy the land of Palestine and that the Jewish state has committed acts of genocide against the Palestinians. Robert Malley, who served on President Clinton's National Security Council, was a prominent Obama advisor until he was forced to resign from the campaign when it was revealed he was conducting secret meetings with the terrorist organization Hamas on behalf of Obama. Clearly, these anti-Israel associations of Obama place him against the God of Israel, who has revealed in his word that he gave the land to the Jewish people as an everlasting possession under the terms of an everlasting covenant. Genesis 17:7-8. God did not give this land to the Arabs or Palestinians. Those who seek to wrest the land from Israel will fall under the curse of God, according to Genesis 12:1-3 and Joel 3:1-3. The election of Obama will now further advance the increasing opposition to an undivided Israel, fostered by the State Department that started full force under the Bush administration. The anti-Semitic, white-hating, racist Reverend Jeremiah Wright, Obama's former pastor and mentor of 20 years, is a close friend of another virulent anti-Semite, Louis Farrakhan, leader of the Nation of Islam. In February of 2008, Farrakhan gave adulatory praise to Obama, saying of him, quote, "The Messiah is absolutely speaking," unquote. Not once has Obama disavowed this blasphemous ascription of him. Jesus, the real and only Messiah, warned that false messiahs of this stature would arise in the last days. Christ urged believers not to be deceived by them. See Matthew 24, verses 4 and 5, and verses 23 and 24. Obama has been bought off by gay political action committees, lobbyists, and special interest groups who have invested millions of dollars into his campaign, whose sole purpose for their existence is to legalize, normalize, and legitimize homosexuality in mainstream American society. Now that Obama has become president of the United States, he will seek to overturn President Clinton's Don't Ask, don't tell policy for homosexuals in the military, which was nothing more than a tacit approval of homosexual behavior to begin with. Obama will replace this with an open policy of acceptance, tolerance, and promotion of homosexual activity in the military. This, no doubt, would greatly undermine the discipline and morale of our military, particularly between heterosexual and homosexual soldiers who have to bathe, shower, and sleep in close quarters. Obama favors passing the so-called hate crime law legislation that could possibly allow for the prosecution of the laity and clergy of the Christian Church who speak out from the scriptures against the destructive lifestyle of homosexuality. Such potentially fascist legislation would undoubtedly squelch the First Amendment rights of preachers and pastors who believe that homosexual behavior is sinful and unnatural, as the Bible explicitly teaches, and therefore must be publicly and vocally addressed. President Obama also favors the full repeal of the Defense of Marriage Act that protects each state from forced recognition of same-sex marriages. Though Barack nominally says he favors marriage between a man and woman alone, his vocal and public support that homosexual couples deserve the same state and federal benefits of heterosexual married couples is a de facto recognition that same-sex couples are morally equivalent to heterosexual marriages. Now that we have an Obama presidency, the moral perversions of homosexuality in the form of same-sex marriages will be much easier to accommodate with legal recognition from an administration that openly promotes and accepts such an aberrant lifestyle. God prohibits and condemns homosexuality as an abomination, a perversion of the created order that subverts the natural order of creation and disrupts the anatomic marriage relationship between a man and a woman designed by the Creator for the purpose of procreation. Those who practice homosexual behavior or encourage it, as Obama and the licentious leftists of the Democratic Party do, will receive in themselves the just retribution of a holy and wrathful God who will not tolerate a politics of deviance that brazenly seeks to undermine and destroy the fabric of heterosexual marriage upon which all civilization stands. See Genesis 19, Leviticus 18, 22, and 20 and 12, Romans 1, verses 24 through 32, and 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10. President Obama's theological training was conducted under the antipathetic tutelage of the vitriolic anti-American pastor Jeremiah Wright, who taught him the dangerous precepts of black liberation theology, which is a heretical theology fusing racism and Marxism together. Reduced to its basic belief, this theology teaches a collective or community salvation rather than an individual and personal salvation through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, for which the Bible uniformly calls liberation theology, or black liberation theology, is a false gospel that places one's hope and redemption in a political system instead of the personal Redeemer, Jesus Christ, crucified and risen. According to the mistaken tenets of black liberation theology, God does not save men, but men save themselves through building a political process of absolute social justice and the revolution of the black man to overthrow the satanic rule of the white man's system of oppression. While Obama does not publicly espouse or endorse the racist aspect of black liberation theology, he certainly advocates the socialist Marxist tendencies of this theology when he repeatedly calls for the authoritarian redistribution of wealth and his offer that he can bring change and hope to the people of America through massive government solutions by way of increased taxation, wealth redistribution, and entitlement programs. In Barack Obama's skewed world of radical socialism, government is the all-purpose secular savior with him at the helm. Rather than point a person to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, who is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, President Obama haughtily points to himself now and his self-serving policies to address the plight of the human condition that only the cross of Christ can address and permanently solve. Obama's flowery but empty rhetoric of hope and change is vapid and void of true biblical content in that it seeks to replace the need and dependence on God for the devilish delusion of a soft tyranny in the ominous but disarming figure of a nanny state he arrogantly seeks to create at the expense of restricting more of our freedoms. Pope Benedict XVI, in his book Truth and Tolerance, warns of the dangers of fusing the Marxist ideas of liberation theology and making them redemptive instead of political. He warns what happens when you do this, when he says, for, quote, where the Marxist ideology of liberation had been consistently applied, a total lack of freedom had developed, whose horrors were laid bare before the eyes of the entire world. Wherever politics tries to be redemptive, it is promoting too much. Where it wishes to do the work of God, it becomes not divine, but demonic. With a fawning, unquestioning, and propagandizing media in step with a hypnotized and blinded electorate for Obama, we could be very well on the verge of this nightmare happening here in an apostate socialist America under a Barack Obama administration, reinforced by his radical left-wing enforcers. America, you are now left with, in the sage words of columnist Herb Denenberg, a dangerous charismatic demagogue who gives pretty speeches, but whose reality is the opposite of his rhetoric, who is inexperienced and shows it every time he gets off his teleprompter, who has a razor-thin resume, who has never done anything but run for office and self-promotion, and whose policies, advisors, and philosophy would destroy America as we know it. And now, that destruction has begun with Obama's election to the presidency. What do we do now as Bible-believing Christians who saw through this sham? What are we called to do now that this country has been turned over to the most radical left and most anti-Christian candidate for president? What should we do? We should stand up and fight, beloved, not with physical weapons of war, but with the spiritual weapons of the Christian armor, as given in Ephesians 6. We must continue to fight for the Christian faith from the pulpit, through Christian politicians and their power to legislate righteous and Bible-based laws. This is how we can contend to fight for the Christian faith. And secondly, we must pray for such leaders like Joe Biden and, of course, more importantly, Barack Hussein Obama and his administration. We must pray for them. We are commanded in Scripture to do that. We must pray that they will repent of their anti-Christian, unbiblical policies and put God and the Bible first in their foreign and domestic policies. And third, according to Ephesians 5:11, we are to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. So when this administration in the next 4 years proposes and passes laws that go against the Judeo-Christian foundation upon which this nation was founded, we must expose those things for what they are. And fourth, this ministry, Berit Hadashah Ministries, will make this administration morally accountable before God and the American people through our radio broadcasts, our newsletters, and from preaching and teaching the Word of God from the pulpit. And so this is how we can combat these things. We are to earnestly contend for the Christian faith and our freedoms in America against those persons and policies that would threaten these vital things. Secondly, we are to now pray for these leaders who have been elected, that they will repent and put God and the Bible first in their foreign and domestic policies. And this is what we are called to do. We are not to associate with them or walk in agreement with them when they propose legislation that is anti-Christian. Rather, we are to expose those things for being unbiblical. And again, this ministry and its supporters and all in our small sphere of influence will make this administration morally accountable before God, the American people, and I would add the church. And we will do so through these radio programs, through our newsletter, through personal letters, and from the pulpit at Shalom Shalom Messianic Congregation. And so from time to time, this ministry, when it is necessary, will expose any and every policy of Barack Hussein Obama that advances this secular left that would embrace and seek to enforce laws upon Christians that would be anti-Christian and unbiblical. To not do this would be to fail God in the hour of this nation's most urgent need. So pray about helping us do that. It takes your support to operate this vital ministry to this nation, to Israel, and to the church. God supports our ministry and provides for our ministry through the faithful giving of you, the people of God. Well, I hope you will ponder and meditate on the things that I've told you today. And we are facing a very dire and challenging time now in this nation. But remember, you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, are on the winning side. Until next time, Shalom Aleichem, Yeshua HaMashiach. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.